Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name's Nicholas, and we are in the Acts of the Apostles. That's, I guess, the official name of the book. And we're in Acts chapter 27. Paul, having been in bond several years, having his friends being able to come and ministering to him, being in bonds under a house arrest type, having great liberty, not being in bonds for any crime that he committed, first taken into protective custody, is now has appealed to Caesar. Of course, fulfilling all of the things that were prophesied of him, that he would be in bonds, that he would testify. He was in Caesarea, and there to be heard, and like I said, several years later, from there ministering to all the places, all the those round about, he's now being taken on a ship to Rome, where he's going to testify. And that's where we pick up, where our good friend Luke, he records it, including himself. He says, "And when it was determined that we," he says, "should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band, and entering to a ship of Adramyttium, we launched," meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, "Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself." So they pull into port. Paul, of course, has friends there, their brethren there, and he has liberty to do as he will. Of course, he's going to show up for the ship for the rest of the journey. And this is the kind of confidence that they had in Paul. And he continues, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed to Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and Lycia. And there a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, we came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives.'" So, looks like the weather has turned here. And if you can get through the archaic language of the 1611, albeit authorized version, that's what's going on. "He said to them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, and not only the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul.'" So Paul warning them, saying, "Hey, you know, this is not going to go well. The ship may be destroyed, and we may lose our lives. But of course, the master of the ship is going, 'Oh, I can handle this. This is nothing. I do this all the time. Everything's going to be fine,' is what's going on there. "And because of the haven was not, commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenis, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. And the wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." So Paul was also for staying put, but the captain of the ship said, "We can go on," and it looked good. So the wind was blowing softly, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And that's an interesting, we got a name for the wind. Euroclydon, the east wind, modern phrase. Okay, who knows. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running into a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. That means they started throwing the cargo overboard. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. So Paul held his peace all this time. After long abstinence, he stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told unto me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So they were going to try to sneak out. They were afraid. 14 days this is going on. You can imagine what kind of effect that would have on your mentality. So Paul said, Unless they abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes to the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought all them to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the foreparts stuck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them could swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they escaped then, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And there we have it again. No little kindness. The barbarous people. That's an interesting thing to say. The barbarous people. That is non-Greek. A foreigner. The foreigners showed us a great kindness. And that's how we would put it today. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live." Of course, they understood that they were transporting prisoners, so they supposed that Paul was a murderer, and judgment was going to catch up with him. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked, and when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us. And of course, this is Luke again, signifying that he is there, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a body flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and lay hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. So here we have a journey that's already taken, 3 months from this point. They stayed on this island, and I know what they did for 3 months. They ministered and preached the gospel here. I think often about things like how we have so-called and abominable, I have to add, Christian television, where they could do wonderful things with it. You know, like they could have the series on Paul. I mean, I'm a fan of J.R.R. Tolkien, and I read The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, way back in the 1970s when I was young. And then to see that these wonderful epic productions that, recently came out of The Lord of the Rings, and to see how well done it was. And then I read things like Paul's journeys here in the book of Acts, and I think, this is what they should be doing in Christian television. We should have the series. They could take years. They could take 10 years to do the series on Paul's travels if they wanted to do it right and do it, like a real life situation. This is the kind of thing, or the real life. But all we get is, we get a few halfway decent movies now and then, a few halfway decent productions. But this is what Christian television should be about. It should be about bringing the Bible to life. It should not be about these people with painted faces and hip-hop people prostrating themselves before the Antichrist in his white robe with his fish hat on. This is, like I said, it's an abomination. And then all of the healers and the people who can bring in the millions of dollars to pay, get all them so they can have all their fancy houses and cars and clothes and pay for all their satellite time. Now, this is not what Christian television should be about. And perhaps, when Yeshua the Messiah comes, perhaps we'll use some of these technologies and use them in such a way that they should be used as a gift from God, because all of these technologies that we have, well, they are a gift from God to make our life easier, though so much of it is used for evil. Not certain we'll need things like televisions and automobiles in the kingdom of come. I'm not sure about that. I think about the way I might be able to travel. Well, definitely we'll be able to travel. So whether we'll need these crude technologies or not, I don't know. But I think that that so-called Christians should be utilizing them in a much better way than to allow all of these philanderers and fakers to have control of this media. We continue here. And like I said, the perfect storm. They have movies like that, The Perfect Storm. But why not? You know, this storm they went through. This, 14 days. You could make a wonderful epic movie on what happened here. And this, it would be fantastic. And it would make all of these others' productions, the worldly productions, pale in comparison. Because this is reality. This is, we have an eyewitness here, an eyewitness account. When he says us and we, that means that he, the author, is present. And that's what we have here in Acts of the Apostles. We have an eyewitness account for most of this. And at least eyewitness accounts that were given to him of what he was not an eyewitness of. So we have first-hand accounts. But our good friend Luke here, he continues. Paul entered in, and he prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. They honored us, Luke speaking, with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So 3 months later, they departed. And the people of the island gave them gifts, gave them everything they needed for their company and the rest of their journey. So they departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle. And we'll pick up here when we get back from this short break. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.